We're turning this evening to Psalm number 64. Psalm number 64. Again, we're coming to God's Word, conscious that we would usually be gathering in the midweek service in the house of God, and we're glad to hear even the news that soon we will, in the will of the Lord, be able to assemble together again in the house of God. But as we come to consider God's Word once again, I would encourage you in your own home to take that time in prayer, praying for the work of God, praying for yourself, your family, praying for our land and nation, praying for our missionaries, spreading these matters before the Lord in prayer. And as we come to this Psalm 64, you will see David is praying in this psalm to the Lord, Psalm number 64. And in this psalm, there is a title, "To the Chief Musician, a Psalm of David." "Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away, and all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. For they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory." Amen. And God will bless the reading of this psalm to our hearts. Let us just pause and seek the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to bless the going forth of his word to our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the words of this psalm. We thank thee for how thou didst so move in David's life and experience that so often he was found calling upon thee in prayer. And we thank thee that we too have that access unto thee in prayer, that we can come first of all as sinners and acknowledge our sin and turn from it and trust in Christ for salvation. And then we thank thee we can continue to come to thee every day for that fresh cleansing from sin, for that fellowship with thee, to spread our needs before thee, to ask thee to intervene in our lives and experience us. And so, Lord, we come to thee and we pray that thou will bless thy word to your hearts. May it be the means of encouraging our hearts as we even seek thy face in prayer. May it be the means of stirring us up in prayer. We thank thee for every answer to prayer. And Lord, we're looking forward even soon to be able to gather again in the house of God. Bless again today the bereaved with thy comfort. Remember those who are laid aside that they may know a touch from thee. Remember those in need of thy salvation that will speak to them and save them. Remember the cold of heart that thou wouldst restore them. Remember each child of God seeking to go on with thee. Continue to lead them on with thyself. So Lord, give help now in the proclamation of thy word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In this Psalm 64, we find David calling out to God in prayer that God might preserve and deliver him from those who were his enemies and sought his ruin. David is thinking in a particular way of the words of the wicked who spoke against him by way of slander, seeking to destroy his testimony and honour. There are many other individual believers in the record of the Word of God, and in the years of history since, as well as now in the present day, who have and do experience the slander of others against them. The Lord Jesus himself, during his public ministry, was often spoken against. He was lied about and he was slandered. He was accused of blasphemy. He was accused of breaking the Sabbath day. And yet, of course, he was perfectly innocent in all that was spoken against him. Now, as believers, as saved sinners, we are not sinless. But we must always seek to live in a manner that will bring no deserved reproach upon the name of our Saviour. The devil, of course, is the one who is behind the sin of slander and lies against the people of God. The Lord Jesus, in John chapter 8, when he declared himself to be the light of the world, he was accused, falsely accused, in John 8 and the verse 13. John 8 and the verse 13. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, "Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true." They were seeking to kill the Lord Jesus, we discover, even though he was telling them the truth. And in John 8 and the verse 44, the Lord Jesus said to them, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him." Then the Lord said, "When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." The Lord Jesus was saying the devil is a liar and the father of it. And he was saying to those who were falsely accusing him that they were of their father, the devil, and the lusts of their father they were doing. You know, those to whom the Lord spoke went on in verse 48 of John 8 to say, "Say we not well that thou wert a Samaritan and hast the devil?" And again, they were falsely accusing the Lord Jesus. They were slandering him. They were dishonoring him for who he was. Now, as God's people, we must be careful not to be involved in slander against others, especially against fellow believers. James, in his letter, in James 4, in the verse 11, he wrote, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren." And the word evil is carrying the meaning of slander there. So there is much, therefore, that we can learn from this Psalm 64 as we come to it now. And as we consider this Psalm 64, we want to consider David depending on the Lord for deliverance from his enemies. And we're thinking, first of all, then, about David's dependence upon the Lord. The opening verses of the Psalm are an expression of the fact that David was depending upon the Lord. For he said, "Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy." Verse 2, he says, "Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity." David's confidence was not in his own devices, but his confidence was in the Lord. He was depending upon the Lord as he prayed to the Lord to preserve his life from fear of the enemy and for the Lord to hide him from the counsel of the wicked. As you read the record of David's life in the Word of God, you will read of the Lord preserving David from Saul, for example, many times, and from the Philistines, and from many other enemies who opposed him and sought his life. When we think of the Lord Jesus and how he was slandered and falsely accused, there were times, of course, that he did defend himself, such as we mentioned there in John chapter 8. But you'll remember when he was before Pilate, and Pilate was so surprised because the Lord remained silent when many false accusations were brought against him. But, of course, the Lord Jesus was dependent upon his heavenly Father to vindicate him. And even though he was falsely accused and delivered up to be crucified, his resurrection from the dead was the greatest vindication of who he was. We, as God's people today, can depend upon God's promises. As we would, like David in this psalm, pray for the Lord to preserve us from the harm that those who may slander us would seek against us. One such promise that we can claim is found in Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54 and the verse 17. And in that verse we read, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." What a promise. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Today there are many who accuse the individual child of God and the Church of Christ collectively of hate crimes when sin is highlighted and spoken against. And many would want the people of God arrested and imprisoned, yea, even put to death. Other times people may be jealous or envious of the child of God in some other setting, and it leads to slander. But we can still depend upon the Lord, like David and many others. We think of how Joseph was slandered, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and yet the Lord vindicated him. Let us in prayer take everything to the Lord. As the hymn writer said, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." The words here in Psalm 64, verse 1, when David says, "Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer," they actually carry the meaning of "in my lament" or "in my complaint." We can take those things that cause us to make complaint even to the Lord. How dependent are you and I upon the Lord? Surely our prayer life will give the answer to that question. So in this Psalm 64, we see very clearly David's dependence upon the Lord. And of course, that dependence that David had upon the Lord is brought out as you read right through the Psalms and read of him in so many different situations and circumstances, above all, praying to the Lord. Yes, often using the means God had provided, but above all, praying to the Lord. We move on to a second thought here in this Psalm 64. Not only David's dependence upon the Lord, but we see in the second place David's description of the enemy. David in this psalm describes the enemy in various ways. And then he focuses in upon a detailed description of the sinful words of the enemy against him. He refers there in verse 2 to the secret counsel of the wicked, to the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. And in verse 3, he speaks of how they whet, or the word means sharpen, their tongue like a sword. And they bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words against David, seeking to wound or hurt his testimony and his honour. Sometimes from near and sometimes from far, these attacks were launched. The tongue was like a sword. A sword is used in opposing someone up close combat. And then it speaks of bending their bows, which can be shot from a distance. So from near and far, there were those who opposed David and they spoke against him. Verse 4, he talks about them shooting in secret at the perfect or the upright. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. Now there are many of the Psalms where David brings before the Lord the opposition of the enemy and how they spoke against him. They lied against him. They slandered him. They spoke these bitter words. For example, if you go back to the Psalm number 10, the Psalm number 10 and the verse 7. Here David says, "His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity." There were many who came against David and they cursed him. They sought to deceive him. They had mischief and vanity in their words. Psalm 52. And the verse 2 is another psalm where David, Psalm 52, verse 2, we're told in the title that this psalm of David was when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. And in the opening verses of Psalm 52, David says, why boasteth thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. And then he says, thy tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Verse 4, thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. And here David is speaking specifically of a time when Doeg worked against him with his words. He worked deceitfully. He lied about him. He was deceitful in his words against David. Another psalm, Psalm 57. In verse 4, David has to say, and we're told in the title, it was when he fled from Saul in the cave. He said, my soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Their tongue a sharp sword. Seeking to wound David. To wound his testimony. To wound his thoughts. Just one other psalm with regard to this, Psalm 109 and the verse 2. David says in the verse 1 as he prays to the Lord, hold not thy peace, O God of my praise. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. And maybe today finds you troubled because people have spoken against you with a lying tongue. And yet you, like David, can take that matter even to the Lord. But you know, it's interesting also in the Psalms that David spoke and prayed that he and God's people should not be involved in sinning with our speech. But rather, in contrast to the enemy, we should speak in a manner that glorifies God. And again, if I can just mention a few of the Psalms in particular, Psalm 15, in the verse 3, David is asking the question, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? In verse 3, he says, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbour, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbour. We as God's people must be so careful, lest we in our speaking be taken up with slander and reproach against those who are innocent of such charges. Psalm 34 and the verse 13. Psalm 34, verse 13. We're told in the title of this psalm that it was when David changed his behaviour before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. But in verse 34 and 13, David says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. He's giving this exhortation, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. We must be so careful with our speech as God's people. Psalm 39, verse 1. I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me, taking heed lest we sin with our words. Psalm 51 and the verse 14, that psalm of repentance when Nathan had come in to David and set before him his sin with Bathsheba. Psalm 51 verse 14, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. We are to use our words in a God-glorifying manner. Did not the Apostle Paul take up the same subject when he was writing to God's people in Ephesus? Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Oh, others may be taken up with corrupt speech against us, but let us not be corrupt in our speech. Let us speak in a way which magnifies the grace of God. We're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. We're to put away bitterness, wrath, anger, clamour, and evil speaking. And we're to be kind to one another as the people of God. Ephesians 5:3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Let us not sin with our words as God's people. Let us use our words in a God-glorifying manner. We come back here to Psalm 64. We're thinking of David's description of the enemy. Psalm 64, especially their words against him. In verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 64, he says of those who opposed him and those who spoke against him, they encouraged themselves in an evil matter. They encouraged themselves in sin as they sought to harm David. Of course, by way of contrast, we as God's people are to encourage ourselves in the Lord and encourage ourselves in the things of God, not to encourage ourselves in sinful matters. He went on to say in verse 5 of Psalm 64, they commune of laying snares privily or privately or secretly. They're communing together. They say, who shall see them? They forgot that God sees everything. And again, we as God's people are to live in a manner that shows that we're always conscious that no matter what we say, what we think, what we do, wherever we are, what no one else can see is God sees all things. That will enable us to live a God-glorifying life. He went on in verse 6 to say that these individuals, they search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. In other words, they put a lot of effort, a lot of time, a lot of planning and plotting into their sin. And you know, as David describes the wicked here and the enemy in particular, their lies and their slander against him, we are reminded that the devil, of course, is behind all of this. He is the accuser of the brethren, as Revelation 12 and 10 points out. You know, the name devil, it means to slander. And in Zechariah 3, 1 and 2, we read of Joshua, the high priest. And he's standing before the Lord Jesus, the angel of the Lord. And Satan is standing at his right hand to resist him, to oppose him. Just like Job was accused by Satan. But in Zechariah 3 and 2, the Lord rebuked Satan. And we can pray that the Lord would rebuke the slander of Satan and his instruments against individual believers and against the Church of Christ collectively. Remember Peter's first letter? He was writing to believers who were suffering for their faith, and they were suffering the slander of those who opposed them. 1 Peter 2:12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. In other words, when the wicked would slander us, let us continue to live those upright lives for the Lord. 1 Peter 3:16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Verse 17, for it is better if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Christ suffered for our sins. Indeed, he suffered slander as well as suffering, the death of the cross and the wrath of God. And so David's description of the enemy leaves much for us to meditate upon. But there's one final thought here in this Psalm 64. Not only is it clear that David was depending upon the Lord, not only does David set before us the description of the enemy, but we see toward the end of the psalm David's delight in the Lord. David finishes the psalm with a note of victory. In verse 7 he says, "But God." And I'm sure you've often been encouraged to consider many places in the scripture where there is that "but God." How God changes the situation. How God changes the circumstances. And despite all that David has to say here about the enemy against him, he can say in verse 7, "But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away." In other words, they will reap what they sowed. Verse 9, "And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing." I think of the book of Esther and of Haman, who slandered Mordecai and the people of God and plotted their destruction. And yet he was hung on the gallows, where he planned to have Mordecai put to death. In verse 10, David says, "The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory." David could delight in the Lord. The Lord would deal with those who opposed him. The Lord would deal with those who slandered him. God would shoot at them with an arrow, and God would wound them. And David could say of himself and the rest of God's people, "We'll be glad in the Lord. We'll not be glad in that which is sinful. We'll be glad in the Lord. We'll trust in him. Our faith will grow and increase as we see him working on our behalf. We shall glory. We shall glory in him, not glory in ourselves." I wonder, are you one of those who delights in the Lord? In another psalm we read, "Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Oh, may we, when we are slandered, may we even look to the Lord. Oh yes, there are times we may have to defend ourselves, but may we look to the Lord. And may we not be involved in slandering others. May we use our speech in a way that is God glorifying. May we pour out our hearts even to the Lord in prayer. May God bless his word to our hearts today.